Yeah. So, Al, we were talking a little bit during the break. I asked you if you'd played any pickleball yet, and you said you haven't gotten to it yet.
Six tournaments I've been in so far. 6 weekends straight.
You may need to have a backup plan, but for your partner.
Okay.
I went and played Thursday again, right? I'm trying to play once a week leading up to our tournament. I play with my buddy Brad, and he's much better at it than I am. We played 4 games, and he went 3-1. There's a couple of things going on here.
Okay.
I won the first one, and I didn't kill him, but I won decisively. I think I won like 11-6 or something like that.
Were you running your mouth like, this is boring?
Nope. Okay. Nope, because I know what the next game was close, but I lost. And then the third game, he kicked my ass. And then the fourth game, he really kicked my ass.
Did you break your paddle?
Nope. Okay. Al, I can't get through more than one game before I can barely move. Mm. I'm trying to increase my endurance as we get closer to this thing. Here's the problem. We played for, I don't know, 1 hour and 20 minutes or so. Okay. So a decent amount of time, but nothing crazy. It's not like we did a 3-hour session.
That's a decent
amount of time.
It is. It's decent, but it's not 1 hour and 20 minutes of nonstop. You play, you chat a little bit, you sit down, you drink your water, you go back out, you play a little bit more. So it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, flying to Vegas with the I'm a little sore, but nothing crazy, right? Saturday and Sunday.
I'm
better today. I can't lift my arm over my head. Mm. My back hurts me. My knees, I can't bend my right knee, basically. I'm basically walking around like a pirate on a peg leg. I can't bend my knee at all because it's so arthritic and jacked up or whatever it is. There's virtually, you tell me what you want me to do. Continue to practice to try to improve my ability, or basically not touch a pickleball paddle
until
the tournament.
This is easy. First off,
you can't do both.
Was there any moment, like just during the weekend, where you're telling Susan, man, really sore, this, that, or do you not tell her anything because she's going to say, well, why don't you just stretch and you don't want to do that because you've been doing that now for 20 plus years?
I complain a lot about everything. Mm-hmm. And this is just kind of the way that our relationships were. I brought the little tube of CBD, like a cream salve kind of thing, because that tends to be a pretty good pain reliever to me. I was walking around like I was 150 years old. I had it on my knees. I had it on my back. I had it on my shoulder. I had it on my elbow. There's no chance I get to the middle of March with this thing.
All right, this is what you do. Keep playing the way you are. And then the last week leading up to the actual pickleball Saturday tournament, whatever, just don't play that week. So stop on Sunday.
Not a bad idea.
Now you got 4 or 5 days where you do nothing. Your body recovers. And then by that time,
but
you
I don't
have,
think I'm going to get to the tournament at this
you've
pace.
Improved your skill set. You're much better at it.
I stink.
You know, I'm sure compared to some of these ringers, but who are you comparing to? At this radio station?
No, not to the radio. I don't worry about these guys. I got those guys covered.
But that's kind of the point. That's all it is.
But I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to be the first person out. I don't want to get hurt in the opposite order. Don't want to get hurt first.
But do you agree that if you give yourself 1 week off before the tournament?
I don't think, no.
That's not going to give the body enough time to...
Sure. Like, for instance, I could probably play today if I had to, but each time I play, I get progressively more jacked up than the time before. We still got another month and change before this thing comes around.
When you first played, what was that now? A couple weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Compared to playing this past weekend?
Much worse the second time.
Oh.
Because I think I went a little harder. I think I tried. We played a little longer. We played a fourth match instead of just three. And I'm just getting clobbered.
Can you play a lot less than playing for 1 hour 20? Can you play for 30 minutes?
We could.
40 minutes?
But it's oddly difficult. Yeah. And I don't like being bad at
this. Well, I tried. I gave every suggestion possible. I got nothing.
I think what I was hoping to say is you should get a new partner and you should quit. That's what I was hoping you were going to tell me. Just quit.
So DeMarco and Kirk, what do you think of that tandem right there?
DeMarco's doing what I'm doing. DeMarco is playing every week.
Yeah.
DeMarco is going to see a trainer. He's getting in shape. He's doing all those things. As far as 7-10 goes, they're the team to beat. They're two professional athletes.
So Kirk, we had him come on, talk about the football weekend, and we brought it up. We brought up Clinton and I brought up on Friday, just, you know, hey, are you playing? What do you think? Tournament? This guy gave such an answer. He said, you know, right now we're just trying to do everything we can to just get back in shape and this. I'm like, Kirk, you're not playing for the Raiders, and this isn't a press conference on Sunday leading up to the Super Bowl.
Hey, those guys don't mess around. DeMarco's taking it seriously. Kirk's taking it seriously. I'm trying to take it quasi-seriously. I'm at least trying to figure out which end of the paddle to hold. You should practice because you're going to have to play a lot because I'm going to be stuck in one spot. I figured out I need to get to the line. You can't go in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to try to play. I'm going to play the front. You're going to be playing the back.
What if you wore at some point knee pads and just knee down, just on your on one knee?
Can I tell you
just
something?
Just whatever you can get in.
You know what's super embarrassing? But I'll tell you, because I like everybody that's listening and I like you. You know what the most challenging part of that stupid game is for me still? Picking the ball up off the ground. Because it's, you know, at the end of every point, ball's on the ground. You got to pick it up and start over again. So you end up doing probably
and
the equivalent.
It's not like a tennis racket.
It's not long enough. You got to bend over. You can't do that thing with the tennis racket against the side of your foot and flip it up. You
can't do that.
So you end up doing like 200 sit-ups in this whole thing, and I'm good for like one and a half.
Is there like a pickleball scooper where you could just.
There's a Velcro on it.
We should make the court kind of like a funnel shape. So we're all going to just have like a vacuum tube that brings it back up to the surface.
For all I know, we're going to have ball boys and girls that are running and getting everything and handing it to you.
That'll help a lot. That'll make
a big
difference.
Travis, someone just called. He couldn't stay on the line to get on air, but he was like, just stop playing singles and play doubles. It's easier on your body, he said.
Okay, for sure. We've talked about that, and we're going to be playing doubles, so I need to learn the doubles game. I need to learn the game for myself first before I can learn it with a partner.
It's the game within the game, Emily.
I'm just giving information.
No, it's great advice, and I already have my second two people picked out when we start to go to the doubles round. But I
write down his number. I'm gonna send him a text.
I don't even know how to do it. It is a Bud Light reaction Monday on 710. We're reacting to everything that went down on NFL Championship Weekend, and of course, it is presented by Bud Light. Make Bud Light your game day beer. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Must be 21 or older. Please enjoy responsibly. Have you ever gone to Las Vegas and not enjoyed alcohol responsibly? Because that's what we usually do, right? You go to Vegas, you go crazy.
I have. Yeah. I've definitely done that where I've not drank.
This was a first for me. And I wouldn't say I'd not drank, but very, very little.
Okay, have you ever gone into Vegas in the morning and left at night?
Oh, like a day trip?
Yep.
I've never done that. No.
Okay, so I've done a few of those, and by doing those, I just didn't drink.
Yeah, but what about like you're there for a couple of days? And not nothing, but
couple of
very,
days,
very
I'm drinking something.
Yeah,
I'm drinking something.
Had a couple of martinis, little old-fashioned along the way.
Is this at the very nice meal?
It was very nice. It was very nice.
What'd you have? Tell us about the meal.
We went to a place called Bouchon, which is in the Venetian Hotel. Got a little French bistro action. I had steak frites, which is classic that is very hard to beat. It was great.
Was it similar or worse than Slee's steak, you think?
It was probably a little bit better.
I think Slee's got this down. I think
probably
he,
on
got
par.
It.
Caramelized shallots, had a martini.
Why every time you guys point out a restaurant, I'm on Yelp looking at pictures.
It's a little steak tartare.
Damn.
We had,
it was 8,500 photos.
It's a nice place.
What does Susan have?
Susan had salmon because that's what she does, and it bothers me. Michael wanted the filet. They didn't have it, so he ended up getting steak frites, too.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
She gets salmon, and it bothers me.
She gets salmon everywhere we go. Mm. And look, I like salmon. I order salmon frequently. I like it. But it's the same thing everywhere you go with salmon.
At a restaurant, I never get salmon.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this last week. I
like it.
Every time I have salmon, I'm like, why don't I have salmon more often?
It's great.
But if I go to a restaurant, I'm not getting salmon.
I'm with you. I agree. She feels differently.
Also, what was the fry situation? Was it shoestring? Was it there's like skin still on it?
It was skins on the very ends of the potato. Long, skinny, perfectly crispy, fluffy inside, perfectly salted, and enough fries for the four of us to eat and have some left over.
Do you get truffle fries when you get steak free?
I've gotten that sometimes, but
truffle is overwhelming.
It's the only thing you taste. And it's the only thing you smell, too, which changes everything else along the way.
All right, Venetian, you can't put all your own pictures on Yelp. Can I just get some from the people?
It's good. It's a good spot. I had a very nice time. 10 days before the NBA trade deadline.
Week from Thursday.
Right. Lakers made a I don't want to say an auxiliary move, a move on the peripheral, right? They got rid of Nunn and some picks for Hachimura. It's been about what I think you thought you were going to get out of him.
It was a very needed position.
Yeah.
They didn't have wings. They needed somebody that 6'8". They needed that.
Am I wrong, though, Al, to think that this is not going to alter the course of their destiny in and of itself? They might be a little bit better with him, but I don't think it's like, oh, wow. And again, it's early, but I haven't seen anything that leads me to go, oh, okay, this was the missing piece.
I think the oh, wow will be AD, Bron. It's going to be all them. Now, the role players will – I'm a fan of Hachimura. I think he will help. But that deal didn't go down, and everybody said, Well, the Lakers are the team to work through the West. I mean, that obviously didn't happen. Yeah.
Are they going to try to do that? There was a thing on ESPN.com this morning about should the Lakers make a move. And it seems to be fairly universal to do the best you can, but don't do anything crazy because there's no great players available. They're going to change it. Like, if you want to make a move to get Bogdanovich, for instance,
sure.
Sure, maybe, but do it at a good price. But this idea of, hey, look, we're going to go get a Zach LaVine or somebody else that could really make a difference, it's not going to happen.
So I think there's a theme here from the Lakers front office. Let me give you an example. Since they made that trade for Russ, it's not like they've made a number of other moves since the Russ move. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they have, in a sense, and I believe them on this, let the market tell you what to do. And if the market is telling you that you just can't find value out there, and if you give up these two picks, which we even heard Pelinka say this when they brought in Hachimura and they did the presser, I guess you could say pregame, whatever it was, Pelinka was saying these are our most important assets. We're not saying we're not going to give up the assets. We're saying we're only going to give them up if it truly makes sense for us, right? So I think
Which I agree with. That seems to be the smart thing to do.
And they've done that for a year and a half now. So I take them to their word that they're not going to just do something just to do it. So I say that because I think in the next 10 days, if I told you, you got these three options, what do you think is going to happen for the Lakers over the next 10 days? That A, they're going to shop. Both of those picks will be gone in the next 10 days.
Okay.
B, one of those picks will be gone in the next 10 days.
Okay.
Or C, none of those picks will be shipped off. I think the chances of B and C are much greater than A.
Yeah, I was just going to say, in order of things I think are likely to happen, it's B, C, A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even if they don't make a move, I wouldn't be shocked. Just because, again, I think it's going to come down to this. If the rest of the market and the rest, when you have 12 other teams in front of the Lakers in the Western Conference, they may be thinking, hey, let's go make a playoff push. There just aren't enough teams that are selling right now.
I would love to have seen them just poke their nose in there a few times to let me think, you know what, they're close. They've just been in that 12-13 spot the entire season. They can't seem to get out of it. I get everybody else's average too, but it doesn't fill me with a great deal of confidence that that run is coming along the way. They just 1-2.
You know what sucks? I'll tell you what sucks. I'm going to go back to the game on Saturday. They were 8-5 in January.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 8-5 so far in the month of January. They've had good games against good teams, whether it was the Philly game in overtime or the – I'm just talking about teams that are in the playoff push. They beat the Kings one game. They lost to the Kings another game. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies. They've hung around. That freaking Boston game, I feel like swings our conversation we're having right now. I feel like it changes a lot of that conversation.
All right, I got pickleball advice that I need to get to, so thank you for helping me out. We'll take those calls coming up in just a little bit. I guess the Eagles. I was stuck in my NBA, Philadelphia. They're going to the Super Bowl. They had the best record. They were the number one seed. They've kicked the two playoff opponents' butts that they've seen. Why do I not think that they're a good team? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, I need all the help I can get when it comes to my pickleball training regimen, which is not going well. My knees hurt. By the way, the paddle weighs, I don't know, 10 ounces, 12
Taking
ounces?
Out your shoulder.
It's like I'm swinging a kettlebell.
Like a cast iron skillet.
Yes, it's what it feels like. Let's go to Downey and Marcella. Marcella, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up?
If you want to get rid of all that pain, take Bear Aspirin Back and Body. It's in a purple plastic container. It's 200 caplets, 500 milligrams. Take two, and it starts working at least, for me, at 45 minutes to an hour. So depending on how bad your back pain is or your knee, it might take 2 hours, but take two of those, and they're actually coated. So if you have issues swallowing, no problem.
No problem.
Thank you, Marcella.
Oh.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Marcella.
And I'm watching you guys now streaming, so you guys are hysterical.
Nice to see you, Marcella. How are you?
Thank you. I don't know how long the delay is.
Does she work for Bear? Like, that was a very specific commercial for they're coated, they're time release.
Easy to swallow.
Easy to swallow.
It's like when I asked
doesn't hurt your stomach. Just eat 2 hours before.
My mom, whenever I ask, like, you know, oh, should I get this? She's always very matter of fact. She's always very, like, specific. And I think that's always lovely. Thanks, Marcella.
She got your back. She's got your back.
I'm able to mitigate the pain with drugs. That I know how to do, right? I know how to.
Muscle relaxers work, too.
Muscle relax. By the way, Slee, have you ever.
His voice changed. By the way, Slee.
Have you ever had the pleasure of a couple of muscle relaxers and a glass of wine? Because I would recommend, as they say.
I don't think the doctor would. But.
Probably not.
Just do an edible and a glass of wine?
It's different. I've done that too, which is wonderful. Don't get me wrong.
Wonderful.
The muscle relaxes. You know, my back bothers me occasionally, and the doctor will give you a couple muscle relaxers.
I think you just say that to him.
It's like they've taken every bone out of your body, or just this massive softness. It's terrific, and your mind is all soft. It's just wonderful.
Did you guys?
That's how you get through 3 hours of Babylon. That's how you get through it.
Yeah.
See DeAndre? He just walked in. He came in to fix the iPad or whatever.
He's rocking all
but
Philly.
He's in a Philly poncho similar to the one that Jorge has for the 49ers. And he just walks in. And, you know, I think I like how he's not going about gloating about being in the Super Bowl. You know, if you ask him, if you congratulate him or whatever, it's fine. But he's wearing the beanie. He's wearing the poncho. But he's not like, hey, guys, I'm from Philly.
The job's not done.
Well, it's not done.
Yeah, it's not done. I mean, did you hear Jalen Hurts yesterday? Yeah, you know, it feels good. We're in the Super Bowl.
His singing was not that
great.
Got some
work to do.
But no one here hates Philly, right? Like, the 49ers, if Jorge were in here in 49er garb, they're the rivals of a lot of different people. If it's the Cowboys, everybody hates the Cowboys. People it's the Patriots. They're going to root against Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
For all we know, we didn't put a mic in front of him. We put a mic in front of him. What if he was like, yeah, you guys like that?
Could be true.
Where are the Rams at?
Are you sure they're good? I'm not. They're obviously good. Let me rephrase. But I don't know if they're that much better than it appears that they are with everyone else during the regular season. They went 14-3 during the regular season. They basically had their division and the conference locked up by December. Okay, so they could kind of cruise into the playoffs, get as healthy as you possibly could. They got a really good draw in a Giants team that they handled really well. Jumped on them early, cruised through that game. Yesterday, against the 49ers, Slee, Brock Purdy gets hurt basically at the beginning of the game. Josh Johnson comes in, and he was over his skis, and then he gets concussed. And that game was a cakewalk. They haven't had a game like the Kansas City Chiefs had last night in a very long time.
Yeah.
Chiefs have been playing four-quarter tight games for a while. They're winning them all,
but
they're in real games. The Eagles haven't been pushed in a really long time.
So I don't think you can win 14 regular season games without being a really good team. Really, really good team. And listen, did they have some stuff go their way? They did. But let's forget about yesterday's game, last night's game against the 49ers. When the Giants won their opening matchup,
against Minnesota?
I thought I thought New York and Philly was going to be a good game. I thought, hey, you got a quarterback, you got a running back, you got a pretty good defense that it's going to be, I'm not telling you they're going to win the game, but it should be a closer battle than we thought. Yep. They ran through them. That game was over before the first quarter was done. I don't think you could do what they've done over the course of X amount of weeks without being a really good football team. Now, what you might be saying is, yeah, but they haven't faced a Kansas City Chiefs team or a Mahomes team. The problem with the Chiefs.
Or a Buffalo or a Cincinnati. Or they haven't had that gauntlet.
Or healthy Niners.
The 49ers, if they've beaten the 49ers 31-7 and Purdy played the whole game, it's like, okay, here we go. They didn't. They ran the single wing for half the game.
You know what they could just be very fortunate with? The timing of what's happening to some other teams. Because I don't know what Mahomes is going to look like. I know that it helps that he's got an extra week to recover. I don't know what some of those wide receivers are going to look like. But if they're not fully healthy or as close to fully healthy as possible, I don't think Mahomes will be fully healthy. But
close enough.
You could very easily lose a game to the Philadelphia Eagles because they've been that consistent.
I like what you said. I think that that's a really good way to look at it. You don't go 14-3 if you're not really good.
You can't, right?
You can't. You're right about that. You're right about that. That being said, when you watch them, especially in the playoffs, last night I thought, and we can come back and talk about this in a minute. I thought Patrick Mahomes was as good as I've ever seen him in my life last night. Not because he threw for 500 yards or they scored 50 points or he completed 90% of his passes. It wasn't.
He's playing on one leg.
He's playing on one leg against a very good team that had a chance to beat him, and he didn't have his weapons available to him. He had Kelce, but after the first half, Kelce was pretty quiet. Mm-hmm. Wasn't completely quiet, but pretty quiet. He did that on guts. He made a huge mistake where the ball just slipped out of his hands. Felt like that was another one. Okay, now the Bengals needed a break. They just got one.
And they cashed in.
And they cashed in, mm-hmm. and that's when it felt like, okay, this is going to go. And he stopped the bleeding, and he was able to keep it together. They get the ball back with 40 seconds. He's on one leg, and he makes a play with his legs. Like that's real high-level stuff. Not that he wasn't awesome already, but his awesomeness was, I can make every throw. I'm going to throw a hook shot. I'm going to throw one underhand. Yep. I'm going to throw one with my left hand. It's like, I can't believe this was just tough, gritty, high-level performance against a great team.
Let me give you a good example on this. I think sometimes these great players, you see them win one way.
Yeah.
And you see them take over a game because, hey, there's just no answer for Patrick Mahomes. Or Patrick Mahomes, when you think the defense is playing great, he got 12 yards, got that key first down on his feet. It's Patrick Mahomes. That's what he does. He won a way yesterday that we hadn't seen him win. And I think, you know, your point of...
Except for he always wins that game.
He always wins that game by how he won it.
Yeah, differently.
Right? That he won a game where, guys, I can't really use my feet. Guys, I can't really buy myself an extra 2 seconds in the pocket. I can't get that first down when the defense is playing perfect on the other side, but I got those 6 yards where I slid and got the first down. You took that element away from him. And what do winners do? They find a way to win. And I think coming into that game against the Bengals yesterday, there was a lot of money on the Cincinnati Bengals. There was a lot of money on Joe Burrow walking
almost
into Arrowhead, Burrowhead, whatever they were calling it. The mayor of Cincinnati, by the way, relax, buddy. Let that
I
game
love that
be played
Kelce
first.
Called him a jabroni. That's amazing. That's just amazing.
I'm sure Cincinnati was like, can you wait till this game's over? But I mean, look, Cincinnati was running their mouth too. It's
I was
going
to say, I don't know about that part. They seem to be leaning into it as well.
But the fact that he walked away with that type of win. It wasn't 35-38. It wasn't Mahomes had, like you said, 4 touchdown passes, ran for
23-20.
It was a 23-20 grinded out game, and Mahomes obviously a key piece of it.
I got a question for you about when you had a thought in that game. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. The martini at my dinner on Friday night. You know, just once in a while, they just get it exactly right. It was one of those nights.
One of those.
Just cold.
Perfect weekend.
I had a very nice weekend. I didn't have the perfect weekend, but I had a very, very nice one.
You kind of had a perfect weekend. Your story about Susan saving $4 to go to the other rental
$4 times 3 days, so it's 12.
Okay. My apologies.
It was so far. Double remote lot. Hey, get on this bus to go to the remote car lot. That's any big size airport has that, right?
We're going to drop you off. There's a van waiting on the side. It's going to pick you up.
That's exactly what it was. Like, I get it. Big airports. Like, if you fly into Eugene, Oregon, the rental cars are right there at the lot.
Yeah.
You walk outside, you get in the car, you drive away. At a bigger airport, Las Vegas, for instance, you got to jump on the shuttle and drive for 10 or 15 minutes. What I had never experienced was, all right, where's our – oh, no. You see that van that barely runs? You got to get in that with 68 other people and drive another 20 minutes out there to get your extra $3 off. That's what we did yesterday. So that was not a perfect weekend.
You know what place I love flying into? It's just so peaceful. When I get into LAX and I get to just figure out everything from there, there's something so soothing.
I'm trying to. So imagine if this is what happened. You fly into LAX, you get in your rental car van, and they drive you to Inglewood. It's about what we did yesterday, okay? So they drive you from LAX to SoFi, all right? Fine. And there's no traffic or anything, so it's not so bad. It's 15 minutes. Now imagine when you got to SoFi, they said, we're going to get you in another
downtown
bus,
LA.
And we're going to drive you to downtown. That's where our rental car was.
And then you got to go all the way back.
And of course, where we were was on the other side. We basically stayed in Reno. It was on the far northwest corner of
town. Susan should have been, she should have had in cash $12. Look at us.
The hotel, the whole team was staying out there. That one was out of our control. But the rental car, it's like I could have bought a car for the amount of time that we spent driving around here. It was crazy.
Let's go to,
what's that?
Did you ever buy a car? Never happened.
Still waiting.
The right deal's coming. I got
people on it. I got people who've got some lines in the water. We'll find one. Oxnard and Jacob. Jacob, you're on with Travis Lee.
Thanks for taking my call. I just kind of wanted to chime in on the Eagles' disrespect. Again, like it was stated, you don't win 14 games by accident, but all season long, every single win was always discredited. Once we had our first loss against Washington, it was, the Eagles are a bad team. See, they're not as good as they are. Wait till the playoffs start. Week 18, they didn't look great against the Giants. Once they played the Giants in the playoffs, it was, they weren't that good. Week 18, Giants will beat them. We annihilate the Giants, and then it's, Giants aren't a good team. And then leading into the NFC Championship, Brock Purdy's undefeated. The Niners got the number one defense. We end up demolishing them, and now it's more, they had this, they had that. There's just always disrespect towards the Eagles this season. And it's kind of crazy how, this being like a Ram station, I'm pretty sure you guys felt that last year, being disrespected on everything that you accomplished, even winning your Super Bowl. This happened, so that's why you guys won. You guys had a super team, this is why you won. It's just insane that, you're discrediting the Eagles, for beating their opponents.
Jacob, you bring up some really good points. And what this might be, by the way, the comparison to the Rams, I think, is spot on. So we caught a couple of breaks. Yeah, fine. We won the Super Bowl. And you don't win the Super Bowl without catching a couple of breaks. The Eagles have caught a couple of breaks. If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, he's exactly right, which is, they kept saying this about nobody beat us. And especially let's say they win the Super Bowl by 10 points, right? It's a fairly comfortable win, which is not totally out of left field. It's going to be one of those, why didn't we ever give them the credit they deserve? That we're looking for reasons to discredit them as opposed to say, hey, this is a really good team. I don't know if it's because Jalen Hurts is inexperienced or was, if it's because Nick Sirianni's not a brand name like an Andy Reid or a Bill Belichick or even a Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but they keep kicking everyone's ass. It's a really interesting way to look at it.
There is something about, a squad that's, you shouldn't be a number one seed. You shouldn't be that good of a team and fly under the radar. And they kind of have, right? Like in a weird way.
How much of that is Hurts related, you think? He might win the MVP. He's been terrific. But he's not a brand name. He's not even a brand name like Dak Prescott. He's a better player than Dak Prescott.
He's a second round pick.
I think the fact that they just dominated all year, because they did. But then they start the season out with 8-0. Then they only had one loss going into week 14 or 13 or something along those lines. I think it was easy to just kind of not forget about them, but it's like, okay, this team keeps doing this. Yeah, but what about Buffalo? This team keeps doing this. Yeah, but what's Tom Brady going to do? This team keeps doing this. Yeah, what about Mahomes and Joe Burrow? And so you kind of spend a lot of time talking about other teams. Maybe the sex appeal wasn't there to the Eagles. But to play off of what Jacob said, I don't think it's a disadvantage that they've just done what they've done. And all you got to do now is go win in 2 weeks. And who gives a what anybody says?
Is there an early line? Do we know what the line is yet?
I can look it up. But yeah. I also have a question for you, Jacob. Are you still there?
Yeah.
All right, Jacob. So I don't know Oxnard as well as I maybe do. So are there any poles you climbed last night? What was your celebration like as an Eagles fan?
I just celebrated with my brother, who's a Niners fan. Just had to say, hey, good game. It wasn't as close as we wanted. Brock Purdy wouldn't have made that much of a difference. But hey, I was confident because if you watch the Dallas and Niners game, no, Brock Purdy didn't make any mistakes, but he wasn't amazing. He just
He didn't take over the game.
He was Jimmy Garoppolo, essentially. Just didn't turn the ball over, managed the game. And the Niners basically won because Dak Prescott threw two picks that resulted in about a 6-point swing. That's essentially why they won. And so I wasn't as nervous. Of course, I wanted a good game, but
people were making Brock Purdy out to be, you know, the next coming of Joe Montana for the Niners. And, you know, his past 2 weeks, he really wasn't that great. Yeah, he only had one drive last night, but it was one drive, one turnover, and he was out. So
I wish we got a chance to see it.
Yeah,
that's what it comes to more than anything else. I wish we got a chance to see it.
He said it, and he's like, he wouldn't have made that much of a difference. I disagree with that, but it doesn't matter.
He threw four times.
Right. It doesn't matter that they won the game. He wasn't available. He got hurt. Mm-hmm. So there's no apologizing for it. I don't think I agree with it wouldn't have mattered. When the defense knows you can't pass,
sure,
it matters a great deal.
They got real weapons. The Niners have real weapons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could be wrong about this. The Eagles could go into the Super Bowl and win against the Chiefs convincingly,
sure,
and I'll eat my words. I still think San Francisco is a better team than the Eagles. We'll never know because the Eagles kicked their butts, mm-hmm, but they didn't play. They had their four-string quarterback and then played half the game without a quarterback. We'll never know.
But it doesn't matter. I was just going to say that I don't know if – I actually thought when we were doing, you know, not even just our picks, but after the Niners beat the Giants the way they did, and after the Niners or after the Eagles beat the Giants the way they did, and after the Niners and the Cowboys was actually a close game, I started leaning more towards the Eagles. But we'll never know. They didn't have a quarterback. So there's no conversation to be had. I think the Eagles probably still a better team, but how the hell are we supposed to know? They didn't have a QB.
They're in the Super Bowl and San Francisco isn't. And when he said he was celebrating with his brother, I think you were celebrating in front of your brother.
At your brother.
Yeah, I was going to say, your brother was not celebrating with you.
He
was celebrating in front of
him. Eagles and a Niners fan in the same family. That's interesting.
In Oxnard. Who knows?
In Oxnard.
I mean, when there's no team.
There was no team here for 23 years, 22 years. People are going to make other choices. That's the way that it's going to go. What's the line?
But the line, as it comes out, it is in favor of the Eagles. Eagles -2. And it's in terms of money line, it is Eagles -130.
Sounds about right.
That's not surprising.
Yeah,
I would have thought Eagles are going to be a favorite in this one coming up. We'll see what changes.
Because of Mahomes' health and because of the health of the Chiefs, or you just think they're better?
I think a combination of all of it. Look, yesterday, like we were just talking about, that might change. Let's see the health with the wide receivers. Let's see the health of Mahomes. But they were limping in that game to a victory against the Cincinnati Bengals. And it had, if you're telling me that Patrick Mahomes 100% full strength, he looks good, he's got his weapons, it's a much different game. But you're less than 2 weeks away from the Super Bowl.
I've done it too, but I keep coming back to the Eagles. I'm like, yeah, you're good, but how good?
Just keep winning. What are they? They got number one and number two defense. Were the Niners the number one defense?
They were the top two. I don't know who was one and who was two, but they were the two best defenses in football.
That's another like key thing that we don't talk about, and it isn't that sexy. They play D.
And that's what you need to win a Super Bowl. You need good defense. You need special teams that don't mess it up for you, and you need a good quarterback. Or you need at least a quarterback that's not going to mess it up for you. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what the Eagles have, and it's what the Chiefs had. The Chiefs had, what, 4 sacks in that first quarter, mm-hmm, against the Bengals? Like, they went after the Bengals. Obviously, the Bengals' offensive line is something we've talked about for a long time, but, like, the Chiefs went after it. So it's going to be interesting to see those two teams match up.
So that book that your date had, let's go back to that for a second. Taylor went
Wait,
on a
no,
date.
The ramen. Come on.
Let him get some of the details out, and then we'll go to the room.
She had a book about 17th century child delivery.
Correct.
With illustrations.
Illustrations.
That's kind of weird. I mean, like, just when you stop.
I kind of like weird.
I do too, but like if she were an obstetrician, an OBGYN, sure. You know, this is how far we've
thrown
come.
Me off a little bit. It would have been a little.
If she were an L&D nurse, mm-hmm, sure.
Maybe she's aspiring. I didn't ask her.
Aspirational, sure. Like if you picked up a book on labor and delivery, sure. 17th century? Like that. I'm guessing that's fairly barbaric, that it wasn't done in an operating room with masks and betadine all over people's
hands.
Let's
just say we've come a long way. We've come a long way.
Did you peep the pictures?
Oh, I was going through it, yeah.
And? Did you peep the price?
It was in the so in the last bookstore they have like more expensive books like right when you walk in. It was in that half the store. So,
it was.
Yeah. It was antique.
So she's not good with her money. It's great.
Well, but what does she do? Are you? Can you tell us what she does for work?
She works for the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a parking ticket that I got 6 months ago. I haven't got a chance to settle it.
When are you going out with her again? Tonight?
this week sometime, but we haven't decided on a date yet. So.
I look, you do what you got to do, obviously, but I'd really like you to take her back to another bookstore and see what she buys.
What's the second book?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if it's like a Stephen King, you're like, oh, okay, it's just a weird choice on the first night. But if it's another, like, medieval surgical application, what you got to consider.
What if she goes to a record store and she gets, like, Gregorian chants or something like that? Like, you can't, like, you got to suss it out.
she's into the rent. The Renaissance was before then, yes? Renaissance was 1700? I don't know either. I didn't pay that much attention. I know the Dark Ages came before the Renaissance. I should borrow her book. I would have answers to these questions. The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Been meaning to bring this up to you most of the morning. Did you watch the video that DeMar Hamlin posted? Did you get
this? Yes. Yeah.
How great was that?
Yeah.
Like, it was. I don't know if you guys were following it. There was this odd conspiracy theory that was floating around that because no one had seen or heard him talk, that maybe he wasn't as okay as everybody was saying that he was. He obviously is 100%
fine. Looked great.
He looked great. He sounded great. And look, I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who DeMar Hamlin was until that Monday Night Football event. I had no idea. You know, if you would have said to me, who's DeMar? I don't know. What an awesome guy. Like, just such a heartwarming message. Yep. And it looked like he might have had some notes. He'd glanced down occasionally, but that was more or less extemporaneous. I couldn't have been more impressed.
I also think he's somebody that is taking all the attention as best as he can and trying to take advantage of that platform and the attention to do good. Right? This isn't just...
For sure.
He's trying to recover, and he's just trying to come back to the NFL. You know, there's a bigger meaning behind it. Almost like as if he feels like, hey, this is my
path.
I've been
football.
Chosen to do this, yeah. You know, so.
It was if you haven't seen it, I believe it's on his Instagram page.
On his Twitter too.
Yeah, it's terrific. It's surprisingly lengthy too. It's a solid 5, 6, 7 minutes long, and he's a really special guy. I don't say that very often. I've come to Al, been doing this way too long to kind of do the thing where, "Oh no, he's a good guy." I don't know any of these guys. They might all be great guys, they might all be monsters. I don't know. But that was just one of those things. I'm like, I really dig this guy. It was very, very impressive. Happy birthday to our mutual pal,
MT.
Colleague, Michael Thompson, celebrating his birthday today. I think Mike, you know, we talk about guys you'd want to be, lives you'd like to live.
Yeah.
Michael Thompson, I think, has a pretty darn good life. I think he's got it figured out pretty good.
Michael's got a good life. And he's got kind of like the perfect balance as well. Doesn't take himself too serious.
No.
Was part of the 80s freaking showtime of the Los Angeles Lakers. I love when he expresses how nervous he gets when Clay or Trace or things like that. And oh, by the way, he's got kids who are professional athletes. You got to kind of take a step. Actually, it was kind of funny. They Bron came on the broadcast after the Lakers beat, who was? I'm trying to think. What was their?
Memphis?
Maybe Memphis. I can't remember off the top of it. Maybe it was Memphis. And John and Michael are talking to him, and Michael starts asking a question about Bronny, and John is like, hey, if you need any advice from a father who's got kids that are professional sports, but Michael's got a good life, definitely a good life.
They had a quick shot of him.
They all love him, too. Like, you go to a game, everybody just coming up and right.
They had a shot of him at the Lakers-Celtics game where they were kind of cutting through the crowd of, you know, famous faces in the crowd and whatnot, and they showed Michael, and underneath it's a two-time NBA champion, you know. Like, what a great run.
He will correct them and tell everybody he's a 9-time NBA champion. He counts all the Clays, all the broadcasts, and the two of the Showtime era.
Two. It's two. I get the – I'll give him the Clay ones before I'll give him the broadcaster ones. he at least were responsible for Clay. You know, like you mentored Clay and all of those things. But you're right about that. When he talks about him and how nervous he gets, it makes me feel so much better because my kid's just participating in high school sports. I'm holding my breath the whole time. It is so nerve-wracking. I can't imagine what it's like having your child in the NBA
in game seven.
It's just going all these levels. And you would think, too, well, I've played in game seven. I know what it feels like. It's fine. He'll be all right. That he's nervous makes me
feel better. Can I say something funny? Every time he talks about the all-time leading scorer or leading three-point makes in one game is Clay, 14. And every time you bring up that or the 37, whatever he had in a quarter, I'll give the three-point. He's like, yeah, but you know what? He missed these shots, and he should have actually got to 17 or 18 and then put that thing out of reach. Now it's still in reach. In my head, I'm like, Michael, I don't even know how to come back with that.
That's pro athlete-ish.
Yep.
You left it too close. You should have done better. I made 14 out of 15.
Of any three-point shooter in the NBA history.
So we're getting close to 24 hours later. Anybody want to give me a clear explanation on why the Chiefs just got a do-over? Because when Jim Nantz and Tony Roman are like, I have no idea what's going on. That the was it Gene Steratore is their referee in the booth.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah,
I don't know what's going on either. That no one knew why they were running that back for a solid 5 minutes, mm-hmm. and then they finally go, oh, that referee at the top of the screen
came in,
is coming
and the
in.
Clock wasn't running or something.
Nobody
like that.
Knew what was happening. That was bizarre.
So luckily, because they ended up, they got a first down because of a holding.
They did,
but they ended up getting punting on that drive.
It didn't swing the outcome of the game necessarily, but. Look, I am a conspiracy theorist in the most tangential sense. I don't really believe in them for the simple reason I don't think people are good at keeping secrets. I think they get out simply because somebody wants to say, hey, I got to tell you this, but you can't tell anybody. And then it goes everywhere. But it's stuff like that that makes you go, what's going on?
I get it.
That's NFL rigged.
When LeBron James gets fouled like that and there's no whistle, it's like, hey, I get it. Everybody makes a mistake. There are bad calls, but what's going on? You can't have those big games. It's the AFC Championship game. The game's hanging in the balance, and we're just going to run a do. When was the last time you saw a do-over in anything?
Let me tell you something. This is actually a perfect example. I was rooting for the Chiefs, and I didn't really have a reason, but I don't know. Just watching Mahomes as he's battling through what he's battling, I'm like, I want to see the Chiefs win. When that redo happened, I felt dirty. And right at that moment, I'm like,
it's a good word for it.
In my head, I'm like, I hope the Chiefs freaking punt. Do not tell me that the Chiefs are going to drive down and this is going to be the difference of the game. And then everybody's going to be talking about this. At least they ended up punting, but they got a first down before that.
Dirty is a great word, Al, because look,
dirty.
We all want our teams to win, but there's a reason that a lot of us like sports and don't like wrestling. I don't want a predetermined outcome. I want it to be legitimate. I understand there are bad calls, but there are get to be times where, wait, we're just going to give Patrick Mahomes a do-over on third and nine? LeBron James gets clubbed going to the basket and no whistle? Really? Okay.
Damn conspiracy. I'm all in now on conspiracies.
On this day in 2000, this happened.
Probably the final play of the game in regulation. It is caught by Dyson. Can he get in? No, he cannot.
Wow.
Mike Jones made the tackle, and the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
Okay, so you have walk-off home runs. You have buzzer beaters to win games. You'll even very occasionally have a touchdown on the last play of the game to win a football game.
Very rarely.
I don't know if I've ever seen a walk-off tackle at the one-yard line in the Super Bowl. That was the first ever Rams Super Bowl championship, St. Louis Rams, obviously. Yeah. But that every time I see it, I'm like, I think he's going to get in. Mike Jones saves the day.
So that's also one of those plays. The actual play, usually someone picks up yards, yards after the catch. When he first catches the ball, I don't know how you feel, but for me, I'm like, he's getting in the end zone. This dude's getting in the end zone. One of the best tackles you can have in open field like that.
All right, let's do a little super crosstalk. What's going on, Mace? How you feeling on a Monday afternoon?
I am feeling just fine. How are you guys?
Fantastic. We're waiting for Momo to come in here in just a little bit.
Oh, she'll be along. She always is.
She's a TV star. She's got to finish her TV stuff, and then she'll make her way over here.
I saw her on the TV on the NBA today just a minute ago, so I'm sure she's rushing over.
Okay.
What's up?
Not to put you on the spot, but...
But we're going
to
put you on the spot.
Did you happen to hear the story about Taylor's date?
Taylor's date?
Yes.
No, I did not hear a Taylor date story.
So, Taylor, jump in and correct me if I get any parts of this wrong. But
real quick, they had ramen, but please continue.
Nothing wrong with ramen. I love a good hot bowl of ramen.
This was the first date with this girl, yes?
Yeah, first date.
So, they go out on a date, Mace, and at the end of the night, they're downtown. They're here downtown, and she says, hey, do you want to walk over to the last bookstore? And Taylor says, sure. So they go over to the bookstore, and they're walking around. They're
looking at books. Is it literally the last bookstore? Like, are there no others? Is this the only one?
It's just the name of it.
Okay, it's just a name. I thought maybe there was.
No, there's more than one left.
Okay, got it.
There's not as many as there used to be, but there's more.
Lights out for bookstores. They're going to the last one.
It's probably the biggest bookstore I've ever seen.
Okay, good, good.
So they're knocking around the bookstore, and she picks up and purchases.
And Taylor goes in for a move.
Nice.
She picks up a book and purchases a book on 17th century child delivery.
Oh, interesting.
With photos included.
And illustrations of like 1642 cesarean sections.
Drawings.
Yeah. Yeah, illustrations.
Sketches.
Yes. Red flag? No. Because my response was, look, did you like her? Yeah, I like her. So go out. But this is one of those keep your eye on it moments, no?
Well, did it spur a conversation? Like, there had to be some conversation.
You
like,
know, I didn't even think anything of it until I mentioned it the next day to one of my friends, and they said, oh, that's
Taylor
kind of
was okay with
that's
it.
Kind of a red flag, isn't it? And I was like, oh, I don't know. Didn't
well,
bother me.
I don't
me.
Know that that's a red. It means she's interested in
at
in
least it wasn't
reproductive
a,
history. I don't
but,
know.
But she's not a nurse. She's not a doctor. She doesn't work in that field. It just seems odd. No,
I guess I wonder why there wasn't some follow-up question. Like, why wasn't there? Huh? Hey, what are you reading? What are you looking into that book for? I would think something like that.
I'm assuming because Taylor said this earlier that for you, you were like, okay. Cool.
Yeah, and really... she's into morbid things. It's just like one glance through her Instagram profile reveals that. And
she's into morbid stuff.
Yeah, morbid things.
Give
me
another example of her morbidity fascination.
Oh, here, let me think.
He's looking through her timeline.
Give me a second.
Like Wednesday Addams.
Send
like...
us a link to her Instagram, and we'll break it down.
Yeah, she's an alt girl. You know, like a just.
Oh, is she like an emo girl?
Not that necessarily, but probably in her teens she was.
Do you know what an alt-girl is? Because I don't.
Mm-mm.
Mace, can you help me?
Alt-girl. It's a girl who's like...
Alt?
I don't know.
Emily?
I mean,
okay,
I have an alt-nation on my Sirius XM, but I don't know anything beyond that.
Here's another example, Mace. So she likes to stay in hotels that are rumored to be haunted.
Okay, so she's got that. That's interesting. That's kind of cool. That's kind of fun.
Does
that
bother you at all, Taylor?
Not at all. I'd love to stay in one.
Does she live in the Cecil Hotel?
Yeah, the Cecil Hotel's the bad one they had the documentary about,
right? Yeah. Have you watched that, Sleep?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You were in downtown Los Angeles. I would think that you would be around
Okay, so
the
this
Cecil.
Is this
You guys
want to
go
most...
grab a drink at the Cecil real quick?
They got a lobby bar over there. This is the most important thing. For Taylor, it's not kind of none of this is triggering him. It took
it's endearing to me.
Friend the next day to say, "Hey, that's a red flag." I think you're fine.
Does she have any ex-boyfriends or husbands that have gone missing and unexplained?
Well, I haven't heard much about those, I need to. Yeah.
Well, do you consider yourself? She's an alt girl. Do you consider yourself to be an alt boy? Whatever that would be.
I don't like to categorize myself. You know, I'm not trying to put a label on me. But
what an alt boy would say.
Yeah. The most hipster.
Don't label me. So, yeah, I think she sounds interesting. I would go down that rabbit hole. That actually sounds kind of interesting.
It's very interesting.
Second date's coming.
It's very interesting.
This week.
Ooh,
if she
what
picks
do you do
up
for a second date?
That's what we were talking about. Any suggestions for him?
There's an immersive Frida Kahlo exhibit over in Hollywood right now. Maybe that would be cool.
That's an excellent idea, actually.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It'd be up her alley.
Hey, Ramona.
Hey, what's up, guys?
She's here.
What's going on,
she's ready.
What's up,
Mama?
You've got the TV face.
I got the lashes. They actually let me out a little early. It was good. Do you want to know the choreography? This is the kind of stuff
I get
excited about.
Okay.
So I know that I forgot to bring lunch. So I, in the middle of the show, like during a commercial break, I'm like, let me order something on the Starbucks app. It's like 12:30. But if I order it now, it will definitely be ready.
Yeah.
Yes.
By the time that I walk over mm-hmm. there.
Yes.
So then at the end, it was like 12:51. And I go, hey, am I on in that last segment? And they go, you were, but we went a little heavy. So you can go if you want. I'm like,
perfect.
Oh, excellent. Mm. So now I like really have time to stop and pick up the Starbucks. It was so crowded in there. And I just felt such a sense of accomplishment that I had ordered so early that I was not late.
I don't did you already take it down?
No,
it's over
there.
Oh, it's over there. Okay.
Like there were so many people in that Starbucks where if I would have ordered when I was walking over, it would not have been ready.
Were you here?
Don't you just get so geeked for that?
Oh, yeah. When the timing works out.
When you get a little win, it feels good.
That was a win.
Were you
the
here?
Starbucks app is foolproof.
It is.
It is such a great
app.
Yeah,
except for when
app.
It's busy down there.
That one, I think, is an exception to the rule because it's so busy.
Yeah.
Or it says they don't have something.
What's
and then
going
you go
on down
there?
Are they
and
getting
they
ready for Grammys?
I don't know.
Grammys,
it looked like kids.
It's a zoo.
Kids
around here
were
today.
There.
So last week they had that. What
teenagers.
Was it? Like a hotel convention.
It was
something
like
a
hedge fund. Everybody was wearing a suit down there last week.
A lot of money down there.
Very underdressed. Yeah.
That was. Did you hear the setup to Taylor's story? I'll give it to you very quickly.
No, tell me fast.
He went on a first date. They went to a bookstore. His.
Where's a bookstore?
Down here.
It's called
the last bookstore.
Literally, okay. I know of one.
He went to the last bookstore. Capital L, not lowercase L. It's called the last bookstore. And his date picked up a book on 16th, 17th century?
What are the, 16th,
17th century childbirth techniques and surgeries.
Illustrations
with
included.
Illustrated
old school
pages.
Just like out of curiosity?
That's
Well, did you guys have
there
a conversation?
There was no follow-up conversation, right?
You just like let that one slide?
I didn't think anything of it, honestly.
You were just like, oh, maybe she's
took a friend of him
livery.
The next day to bring it up.
She didn't pick up the latest Robert Ludlum. You know what I mean? Like this was...
Yeah, it wasn't John Grisham.
To me, this book is a lot...
That's a major follow-up question right there.
Exactly.
Like, do you have a... Are you in this industry? Do you have a friend who's about to have a baby? Are
she has eclectic taste. Century. That's all I knew.
She has a what?
Eclectic taste.
Okay.
I think she sounds really interesting.
More important, Ramona.
I need
they
a little
had,
more than just someone who might be into forceps, you know? Like
they had a good date.
Medieval surgeries.
Yeah,
that's aggressive.
Medieval surgery.
It's pretty aggressive.
Well, I don't know. I watch House of the Dragon. Like, pretty much.
Oh, my God. That's all
that
they did
era
was have babies
of babies
on that
being
show.
Birthed with medical intervention didn't go well for the mom.
Brutal.
All right. I'm going to change the subject here a little bit. Okay. Ramona, help me with this.
Yeah.
I know the letter of the law answer to why. Okay, that you can't review a non-call and you've already used your challenge.
Are y'all fired about the Celtics Lakers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why in the world do we have replay in any sport? And you can go back to the Rams and the Saints a few years ago.
That's where I was going
to
go.
The whole point of having replay is not to respot the football by 6 inches in the second quarter or whose hand it went off of. It's to correct egregious mistakes that alter the outcome of games.
Correct. So Sliwa and I are the people who go to games a lot. You go to more games than I do even. Okay. And one of the really yucky, frustrating experiences of going to games these days is that any game that is close tends to take extraordinarily long in the last few minutes of a game because the coaches don't want to get caught with a challenge in their pocket at the end.
Yeah.
Right? You got to use it or lose it. And therefore, like in the last 2 or 3 minutes, like they'll just review something so that they don't get caught. But then if you use it too early or if you use it on something and a play like that happens at the end, you can't use, there's no mechanism to review. So I think we're at that same point. And by the way, those reviews take entirely too long.
Yeah.
They're like 3 minutes long.
That review would have taken four seconds.
The last
the
three
NBA's
minutes of a
take
game
the longest.
Is like 45
it's brutal.
Minutes long.
Yeah. It's terrible for the viewing experience live and on TV. And so I think the league, this might have been such an egregious call that the league will now revisit this. The competition committee should revisit this and say, all right, clearly that was a foul. It affected not just the Lakers in the standings, but LeBron's chase for Kareem all time. And maybe even more importantly, and I know we're all LA focused out here, but I had like people from almost every single Eastern Conference team watching that game. Mad.
Philly would have been in a tie with Boston
Brooklyn,
for best record.
Milwaukee. Yep. Everybody watched that game going, what the hell? Like, you missed that call, and now the Celtics don't lose that game. The Celtics end up winning that game. That Eastern Conference race at the top is really close, and a game like that swings it.
Am I overthinking this, guys, that there should be, call it whatever you want, master of common sense, somebody that's just sitting there to fix that. Like we,
some
because
dude
they're
late night in Secaucus,
yes,
New Jersey.
Just one guy saying, guys, I know that technically you can't, but we had a huge mistake. He was fouled, put him on the line, he's taking his two shots, and we're going to play it out from there. That I know that there's no rule for them, but just somebody that knows how to fix things. That needs to be fixed.
But the
Rams
question is, how do you
fixed.
Create that match?
Yeah,
like, how is that match? Like, you could say, all right, so
but how many, Mace, how many of those do you get in any given
season? But that's
season?
On the refs. That's,
you could just
that's
say
the thing.
The last 2 minutes of a game. We have the last two-minute report, okay? The last 2 minutes of a game, there's no such thing as a coach's challenge. Every, you know, that somebody in Secaucus has... the ability to.
The game is going to take it. The game is going to take an hour in the final 2 minutes.
But Al,
that's the problem.
I hear you, and you're not wrong. But I'm not talking about every time there's a maybe it was fouled. Maybe,
but they do this 38 times a game at the end of the game.
But I mean, this resulted in the actual outcome of the game.
Exactly, Mace. It changed the outcome of the game.
Maybe the refs have a chance to do it. Maybe you give the referees.
Let's take another look.
Let's take another. Maybe the refs on the court. I guarantee you, those refs on the court.
They knew they blew it within, in the moment.
In the moment, they knew they blew it. I guarantee you.
But that's
they knew
a bigger problem than a lot
they
of people,
should be able to get it right.
A lot of people post game were kind of what you're saying, Trav, saying we should add another replay. Or if it's in the if you use your replay and you were successful, then you should
you
get
should
a chance
keep
to
your replay. You keep that, it. That makes sense.
Mace, the issue I have is I actually do think replays were built for these bang bang plays that are very difficult to call and it needs a replay. Those were three referees staring at the same play that we all saw. I don't really have a solution to that. That is very, very poor officiating, and I don't think we need more replays to try to come up with a solution.
Well,
I don't think it's ever going to stop.
I think there's a bigger issue here. I think there's a big overarching issue, which is that LeBron James doesn't get officiated the way other star players in this league get officiated. If you look at his visits to the line, it's less than a lot of the big stars.
Than the top eight players.
This was the top, you know, this happened in the Dallas game. At the end of the first overtime, LeBron clearly fouled, didn't get the call. It's like, why is LeBron James not getting calls that other players, other star players in this league are?
I don't know that I would say that. I know what you're saying about his trips to the line and yada yada, but like every
I know, I didn't mean to throw facts out there, but okay.
No, I know. I don't know what to do when you have facts. It's weird. It's like throws
it
me
is,
off.
By the
it's
way,
like,
it's
what?
Rare. It's very rare.
It's like,
wait, what happened?
Generally talking out of my ass.
I mean, generally. I mean, I think you could, but you also, you have some selective facts, which are not wrong, which I'm proud of you for doing the look up there, okay? But there, you could also say, I could do the same thing with Zion Williamson or Joel Embiid or any big guy.
Shaq was the ultimate
Shaq.
Example.
These are two calls that would have resulted in two wins.
That's
two more wins in Mace, the standings.
You and I are on the same spot on this. I'm not, what Al's saying is correct, but this, did it go off my hand or did it go off their hand? That we can look at that, and that is going to slow the game down and all those things, and I don't want a million of those. What I want is the game, the Lakers were going to win that game, and they didn't because three guys blew a call that they knew they blew because the way that LeBron acted, if you thought you got the call right, you tee LeBron up, right? They'd let him throw that tantrum was admission of we know we blew it.
Yeah.
They should be able to fix that.
Yeah. NFL because, refs are allowed to get together after a flag is thrown.
Yeah,
and
I
say,
think that's pretty common
let's
sense.
Let's pick this one up.
Right? Like NFL refs are able to do that. I think all those guys, at least in the moment, I'm pretty sure they knew. And then this is the other part of human nature, which is, there's a last 2 minute report, and most of the time it's going to come out later on in the last 2 minute report, who got it right, who got it wrong, which calls weren't, blah, blah, blah. So does that make you more likely to blow your whistle or less?
More.
Well, I think it's more likely
more.
To make
so
you
you'd
get
rather
it right.
make the call and have it be, like you should. I actually think it makes you sometimes swallow your whistle, especially in Boston Garden where you're going to get booed.
More. I would think more, too. I think there's a little bit of pressure there, too. If I'd rather have called a foul, because you could objectively say, hey, was that a foul? Is there enough body contact? That, rather than not blow the whistle, and then you're sitting there, there's nothing you can do. And you know, obviously,
those
in that case, for the Lakers, of course.
That blew that game? Mm-hmm. I think they're much more likely to blow their whistle going forward.
Yeah.
But whereas if it had been the opposite, right? If he went up there and no one touched him and he missed the layup and they called a foul, that one is like there were so many bodies. I just couldn't see it clearly. That's just one I just didn't see right. This one, I blew it. All three of those guys
blew it. I
hate the 2 minute reports.
I don't understand what
it's meant to put in there as an accountability. And the problem is like,
what's the penalty, Ramona, for those three
officials?
Yeah,
that's
the
question.
You get points
penalty?
Docked, you know, like you have a rating system all year long. So like, you know, Mace, like, you know how we do a show and you'll be like, that was like an A minus.
Yeah, that was like an A minus.
That was a
B+.
C. That was a this.
What if you get a bunch of C's in a row as a referee? What happens to you?
So you either work, you work less and you're not going to get playoff games or you're definitely not going to get
affect them financially?
A little bit. Well, if you're working less games, sure.
Yeah.
But you don't get an extra meal on the flight.
The problem is, this is an incredibly thankless job, okay? Hmm. They don't get paid enough to take the kind of abuse they do. Now you're under a microscope and under review, and there's so much writing on you that you have to... We have to build a system where they can help themselves, right? Like where they're not, like if they, I guarantee you within 30 seconds of them blowing that call, they all knew it. Mm-hmm. And they had no way to fix it.
I think it was almost instantaneous. I think it was one of those, they're looking around for the other
two.
Yeah,
Bron's not
going to
react like that.
Yeah, well, LeBron is not on the floor unless the ball is complete. Unless it was
not like that. Not like that.
Bron complains.
I don't know about
that's
that.
That's beyond complaining.
What do we think of Patrick Beverly grabbing the camera?
Yeah,
like showing.
Funny, but unnecessary.
Take a picture.
I wasn't mad.
Look at it.
Yeah. You know, you want to be mad at a player for getting a T. I was like, nah, that's fine.
I like creative points. I'll get creativity. It's a 10 out of 10. Timing was a 2 out of 10.
Yeah.
But I did like the attempt.
That was funny.
It was pretty good. Super Crosstalk is over. It is powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. Mason in Ireland coming up next. Momo's in for Ireland. We'll see you tomorrow.